name of Jesus, I receive everything I hear. It's going to be good tonight. We just accept it right now in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Soaking it up for you to move tonight. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, musicians.
Bless you.
Appreciate you. Amen. Would you all bring me one of those chairs and just set it right here, if you don't mind, tonight? Yeah, we used a plant this morning. I'm going to use a chair tonight. Amen. No, just one of those. I want the look of it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, man. Just right up there. It's fine. Right there. And we're not going to get rid of this chair.
No, we're not.
Okay? We're not going to get rid of the chair. Brother Randy's nervous. Those plants were ugly, wasn't they? Amen. Brother Randy said he couldn't understand where they came from. Well, I needed those plants for illustration this morning, and someone ran home to Randy's house. No, I'm kidding. I had to say that. I had to say, Patty, we know you're not that away, Patty. I hope y'all don't have a plant like that in your house. Okay, here we go. Open up tonight to Romans. Let's look at the 8th chapter. Romans 8, and then I'm going to quote the second text tonight. Romans 8, then I want to quote the second text. Appreciate you all coming. As Pastor said, tomorrow night, 6:30. I'm sure other church people will be coming. Maybe everybody will be back from traveling on the weekends and family. And I know mine's all on the road right now from El Dorado to Dallas to all over. Look at this tonight. Remember what I often say about Spirit-filled writers. You got to see this. It makes you look at the whole New Testament different. That the New Testament, you've heard me say last time I was here, Spirit-filled men, I said, dipped their pen in ink and wrote to Spirit-filled people. So they're not writing to LA gang members. They're not writing to people. There's no way they could understand that. No way. They're not writing to people that don't know. They're writing to people that believe like us. So Paul dips his pen in ink and he writes to the Pentecost church at Rome, not the Catholic church or Baptist. They're Pentecost church at Rome. And he says in Romans 8, one of the best chapters in the Bible, I've preached many messages off of this and never even repeated the same thing. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. This morning's message, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is the enmity or enemy against God. And my point this morning, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Talking about persecution, if we so be, we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We could read on, it's great. But I want to stop there. Close your Bible and lay it beside you. And tonight, let me quote this second text where Paul writes to the Spirit-filled church again at Philippi. It's one of the most challenging scriptures in the entire Bible that's been talked about before. I've really never heard it preached, I feel like, what he's trying to get us to see. But he writes to the Philippian church, the church at Philippi. And he says to them in Philippians 2:5, in other words, don't stop with an Acts 2 experience, an Acts 2:4 of tongues. But go to Philippians 2:5, and he said, there's a mindset, there's a thought pattern. And he said, if you will let this mind, just let it be in you, operate through you, which was also in Christ Jesus the Lord. It's what it's all about. So he's talking about a thought pattern. He's talking about a mindset. He's talking about being against what God is against and for what God is for. And here's the key, what I just said, because our people aren't. So what is the medicine? What is the antidote? What's the answer? Let me ask you a question tonight. Where does the Holy Ghost land? Where is the landing strip when the plane comes in? I asked God years ago when he showed me, if you will show me where the seat is, where do you sit down when you come inside someone? When you understand literally in the body, in other words, pinpoint it, geographically, where does the Holy Ghost come? Does he come in your brain that can be surgically removed? When he come, you said he's inside you. Our text said he dwelleth in you. Well, if he dwells in us, where does he dwell? Right arm, left leg that could be amputated? No. In the heart pump, the center of the chest cavity? No. He isn't there either. Your heart can be taken out. Where does he come? Where does he land? Where does he take up his abode? When he said, the Holy Ghost shall be with you, and the Holy Ghost shall be in you. When I was a young boy and mama got up and cooked, she sent me to school from 6 years old, first grade on up, and she didn't pack a bologna sandwich. I had one of those mothers. She wanted me to eat right. I'd smell the food cooking sometimes. She'd cook before I went to school. And I had that Batman Robin lunchbox. Y'all with me? That metal lunchbox. Inside of it was fried chicken. She knew I was going to be a preacher. Fried chicken. She'd make up the peas and the beans and the corn. Now at 8 o'clock, when I was carrying that lunchbox, it was good knowing that chicken and those beans were with me. And at 9 a.m., I knew in that locker there was a lunchbox. I had them with me. At 10 to 11, I had that chicken and those green beans and that corn with me. But it was better at 12 o'clock because it wasn't just with me. That fried chicken was in me. Those beans were in me. That corn was in me. He shall be with you, and I shall be in you. Where does he come? Where does he sit? Where does he take up his abode and literally land when the Spirit of God comes inside of an individual? We're going to deal with that tonight. Tonight's message, I want to deal with the emotional seat. I want to talk about the seat of the emotions where the fullness of God comes. The greatest sign is not the tongues. Paul didn't say it was. Pentecost has made it that. That's the reason they don't do anything else. They've dwelt on the tongues, such an overemphasis of the tongues only, that they've taken the initial and made it the greatest. They've taken the initial from old time Pentecost on up, and that's when you got people speaking in tongues, fussing and fighting all the time. People speaking in tongues, lusting after one another in the church. People speaking in tongues, but they don't take it deeper. They love Acts 2. They've never even known what Philippians 2 and Romans 8 is all about. David was anointed as a boy with oil. as they poured it on his head at 13 years old. 30 years old, he got the gold. 13 the oil, 30 the gold. Took him 17 years from the oil to the gold. There's something about steps in God. Our people max out too early. They get to a point, they stay there too long. How do we go further? What do? The enemy has blinded us with self-focus. Our people are so self-focused. I want them to understand what the fullness is all about. On the day of Pentecost, there was not supposed to be 120 in the upper room. Anytime the Word of God gives you the number, stop and check it out. When the Bible gives you a literal head count, there's a reason He gave you a head count. When the Bible specifically said, and 120 were gathered in the upper room. But we know, and I say this sometime, and people go, I don't know, I never heard that. It wasn't supposed to be 120 in the upper room. We know that there was supposed to be 500. 500 invitations were passed out. When he raised his hands at Bethany and blessed 500, he gives us 120 in the upper room. He tells us 500. He raised his hands, said, bless you, and gave them invitations. He passed out 500 invitations to the baptism in the Holy Ghost. There wasn't supposed to be 120. There was supposed to be 500. What happened to the 380? 500 minus 380 is 120. Nobody ever talks about the 380. He passed out 500 invitations at Bethany. He blessed them and said, I'm going to be back in the upper room. That's where the Holy Ghost is going to descend to. When I ascend, get on the right hand of the Father, I'm going to go to sit down. When I go to sit down, the Father's going to throw the thumbs up. He's going to say, everything's been done. I'm going to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. I'm going to do everything I can do for the redemption of fallen mankind. There's not going to be any excuse for any man, woman, boy, girl, die and go to hell. When the Father sees that I've done everything, He's going to throw the thumbs up. I'm going to sit down. When I sit down the right hand of the Father, the third person, the second person sits by the first person, and the third person, the Holy Ghost, is coming to this earth. Get to the geographical place called the upper room. Someone asked me, what would have happened if the disciples had met 50 yards south of the upper room? They wouldn't have received him. He came in the upper room. If they had met 75 miles north, he wouldn't have filled them. You had to get where God told you to go. You got to get, if you want the Holy Ghost, the blood meets you anywhere. But I'm telling you now, the blood's for everybody. You ready? The Holy Ghost didn't. The blood is for the nasty people. The blood is for those scoundrels. He didn't come to save the perfect. He came to save the lost. And we're all lost. But listen to me. You got to get. That's reading so many people are saved and don't have the baptism. They don't position themselves to get geographically in the spirit where God wants them to get. I'm telling you, if they'd have met 50 feet south, west, east, or north of the upper room, they wouldn't have got the baptism. They couldn't just move up, Pastor, and go, well, I'm going to stand here. I went far enough, bless God, as far as I'm going. Well, guess what? He's moving right on the other side of that wall. Get over there. He told them specifically, 500 of them, get to the upper room. But something happened to 380. We don't ever hear about the 380. We hear about the 120. What happened to the 380, someone asked me. It's funny, but I said it, and I meant it. I think they went out and started some of these other churches. I think they got to thinking with their invitation, they lost it somewhere. Or they think, you know, we got enough. We got enough money. We're good enough. We're enough. You don't have to do all that stuff. So 380 people were left out because they were a no-show to an invitation to the fullness of the Spirit of God. Now think about it. You take a church of 380 and you got one of 120 flowing in Pentecost. At 380, it's three times the size of 120 plus 20. 380, 120 times 3 is 360. I'm doing all this with the math, without a calculator. And I'm from South Arkansas. So be quiet about them jokes, amen. Plus 20. It's three times the size. You want to look at numbers? It's three times the size of the 120 church plus 20. But I would take that 120 church, my family, and go there any day. Yep. I would go to the 120 church any day. You got some 380s. I won't mention who. You got some 380s in this town. They're three and four and five and six maybe times your size, and have not been around as long as you all have. But I would go to Church Alive if I lived here. Are y'all hearing me? I'd go to Church Alive so fast, make your head swim. I wouldn't even think about some of these three. I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you. I'm not in a popularity contest. Let me preach it right. I wouldn't go to the 380. I wouldn't go where the Holy Ghost is not allowed to move. I wouldn't go where every time he does move, preacher got to get a mic and apologize to the people. Oh, in case we offend someone. Man, listen, that grieves the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said don't grieve him. There's more ways to grieve the Spirit than commit adultery and go to church or get drunk and have alcohol in your breath while you're in church. There's more ways. He ain't talking about that type of way of grieving. He isn't talking about immorality there. You know what he's talking about? He's writing that mainly to leadership. Grieve not the Spirit of God. Quench not. In that same category of lines, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, Christ Jesus, concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. And he goes on. Grieve not the Spirit of God. Quench him not. You know what that means? Let him move.
Yes.
Let him move. Quit quenching him. Every time he wants to move, it's not a moral versus immoral scripture there. It's whether we let him move or not. A preacher commits adultery on his wife, the church, no matter if it's this one, or anyone that moves and don't move. They deal with it, and they ought to. But how many preachers are quenching the Spirit everywhere, and people think it's normal? They're not about to, hear me? I don't know if, as a preacher, committing adultery is worse in the sight of God than quenching the Spirit or quenching the Spirit. I kind of think they might be equal. He sees things, Pastor, so different from the way we see it. He sees things so different from the way we see it. Where does the Holy Ghost come? When he lands, when he makes his abode, where does it matters? When God gave me revelation of the spot that he hits, when God showed me the landing strip of the plane, when the plane comes in, I'm telling you, here's what we got to understand. There's been a pattern. Again, this morning I said dispensations. We're in the sixth dispensation called Pentecost. I mentioned the seventh one, where it will begin, but let me explain this. The fifth dispensation was going on, and the sixth began when God took his sovereign hand on the day of Pentecost. The foundational scripture that we love as much as John 3:16. He took his hand, put it on the stick shift column, and he switched it from the fifth dispensation to the sixth. When they were in that upper room and filled, intoxicated in the Holy Ghost, the dispensation changed in the upper room. They walked down the steps of the upper room and the new pattern had begun. Now, every dispensation, I said this morning, without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission. That was in all dispensations. We had that in common. We mentioned the no compromise. You can never compromise. In all dispensations, it's so important that you don't compromise. In all dispensations, it was a serious thing with God about the pattern. He's a very ordered God. When Paul said to the Pentecost church at Corinth, you got to do it in order. Do it, but do it in order.
Right.
Don't let it get out of order. Why? Because he's a pattern God. Chaos begins when the pattern isn't kept and he's out of order. I'm going to use this number. It's not this way, but I'm going to throw it out to give you an analogy. If a curtain in Moses' day was to be what Exodus and the when you start seeing all the boring part of the Bible, you think of all the pattern and everything that is set up in the Leviticus, set up in the temple and the measurements and all that. Why did God give him measurements? Because he's a pattern God. So when you look at it, when God told Moses, I'm going to use the number, I want that curtain right there 11 feet. If the seamstress made it 10 feet 10 inches, as you and I know measurement, you know when it would show up that something was off? When it was time for the glory of God to fall. They had a pattern like we do. We kind of worship. Here's mainly our pattern. We worship, we preach, then we flow in the altar. We have our altar calls. They did too. The men of God knew there was a certain point of time. They just knew it. He's going to fall right here. When he didn't fall, something was wrong. So the spiritual leaders, the real deals, they called the timeout. And they said, hold on a minute. We're going through the motion. There's something wrong. They got alone with God and God showed him. Moses, curtain's 2 inches off. And God's not a picky God, but he sticks to the pattern. If God just lets anybody preach anything they want to and he still moves, you know what's happening? He's putting his stamp of approval on false doctrine. His moving is a stamp of approval on doctrine. That's when you got to be careful what you preach. You got to preach the whole counsel. When you preach the whole counsel and preach the truth, that's when he puts his stamp of approval. His signs and wonders, his miracles, his falling in the service. Listen, whether people are healed that night or not, he's got a way of moving in when truth is preached just to show that you just heard the truth. And you will know, undeniable, that he is there, that he's moving. But when you stray from doctrine, you stray from the pattern. Doctrine in all dispensations has always been God's way of bringing people into him. It matters what you believe. It matters what you believe. Watch it. Took the curtain down. Seamstress, it's 10-10 instead of 11 feet. Add 2 inches to it. They did it. They hung the curtain back up. And God moved. He didn't wait 6 months by saying, I'm not moving. No. Yeah, you were 2 inches off. He wants to move so much, just like he wants to save everybody. He wants to move in all churches. When they corrected the problem, he didn't make them wait 6 months. When you correct it, he will immediately do what he said he would do. He wants to move. Wow, listen to that. If we're ever going to rule with him, we got to be ruled by him. If you want to rule with him in the millennium reign, you got to be ruled by him now. During the age of grace, he's not twisting arms, making you do anything. Listen to the statement. How you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit, Romans 8, our text, is the governing factor, determining factor of how you will rule with him in eternity. What is the fullness of the Spirit all about? Now, here's my point. Our people are saved that come to the Lord and ask him to forgive them. But why aren't more of our people in this day filled with the Spirit? We're taking the, as an offense, the taking the baptism in the Holy Ghost. We are offending him from the pulpits, Patty, because we're not stressing the importance of people anymore to receive. I'm telling you, they say 50 in the assembly. I don't know if it's that much or not. That 50% of the people, and those numbers keep going down from the headquarters, Springfield, every time they study it. The numbers are dropping point something. I think it's more than point something. I think it's something point something point. I think it's something point. Yeah, I do. I don't think it's a point 342. I think it's a 3 or 4% less or 5% less as you travel around. Because there's a lot of people that in an emotional moment in a song will go, da, da, mo, da, 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 and everybody said, oh, I heard them. They got the baptism. I heard them. They do it emotionally during a song, and I don't know about it. I'm honest with you. I don't know about it. I doubt a lot of it because I watch the fruit. Remember this. Every experience with God you've received got a fruit. Every experience you've had with God has a fruit that follows. If there's no fruit, there's no experience. Salvation's got fruit to it. You're different. So does the fullness of the Holy Ghost. So does being led by the Spirit of God. Three stages of the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to even get my preacher friends to get there. Born of, yeah, filled with, okay, led by. Born of, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit. Here's the pattern that if our people would receive, I'm telling you now, more would explode and take place. Shake the town. You can sing about it all you want to. I was on a plane one time. Southern Baptist preacher, nice guy. Nice guy. He asked me. He said, man, give me the difference. You raised Lutheran? I told him a story. Not raised in it, but he saw how radical I was about the fullness of Spirit. And he said to me, he said, man, you wasn't raised in this, but I want you to give me a one-liner. I know what scripture you're going to quote, he said, showing the difference in salvation and the baptism in the Spirit. He said, but I want you right now just to give me a one-liner as a Lutheran. Now you're an evangelist in the Spirit-filled movement. Show me the difference of salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, okay. He thought he had me off guard. I said, okay, here it is. I said, Baptist brother, listen to me. When I was saved, the Holy Ghost was resident. I got the baptism, he became president. When I was saved, he was resident. He was with me. That fried chicken was with me, but he was right here swinging in a lunchbox. He went with me. I knew where I positioned him. I knew where he was in the locker. All right, you listening? But at 12, there was a point in time when it was time to get him from just being with me and to get him now in me. And he was a lot better. And when I was saved, he was resonant. When I got the baptism in the Holy Ghost and the fire, he became president. All the talk of demon possession, what about Holy Ghost possession? Something happened inside that I felt possessed. I was possessed. My thought pattern, my mindset, and here we go. Here we go. The title of the message tonight, in every one of you, ladies and gentlemen, the landing strip, there is a place called the seat of your emotions. We're going to call it tonight the emotional seat. It's misunderstood by many people. If you're a psychologist here tonight, this is going to help you in your business. It's going to help you in your career by helping people. Because when you look at this, what I'm about to say, from a spiritual standpoint, instead of a psychological standpoint, it will change the way, because here's the answer. Here's why people act like they do. Here's why people don't act like they ought to do. Here's why people's instinctive response that claim to be Christians is weird. It's off, and it doesn't line up because they've strayed from the pattern. Instinctively, without you even thinking about it, is how you gear yourself up in the spirit. There's a way that when you prepare yourself, daily preparation, fill yourself with the spirit. In other words, you've received everything God wants to give you. You don't even have to think about it. Your instinctive response will be Christ-like. You will look at demon possession. When that devil shows up in a room with you, whether it's Walmart or church service, I'm telling you, you're going to have an instinctive response. The sick bodies, lost people, filthy mouths, nastiness. You've got an instinctive response, and here's why. When I got filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I spake in tongues as the Spirit of God gave me utterance. Are you ready? But I'm telling you, he came and landed. He landed in the seat of my emotions. He landed in my emotional seat. And the greatest sign at 18 and a half years old, not being taught, not even reading through the Bible one time yet. I hadn't read through it. I didn't understand most of it in the Old Testament that I was reading. But I'm telling you, he knew I was hungry and he filled me. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the plane landed in the seat of the emotions, the emotional seat, here's what began to happen. I became automatically against what God was against. I was for what God was for. I laughed at what God laughed at. I cried at what God cried at. Too many of our people are laughing at what he's crying at and crying at what he's laughing at. I started hating what the devil loved. I started loving what the devil hated. I didn't even have to think about it. It was weird. It was so different. I had never been like this before. You know what happened? He sat down in my emotional seat. And I emotionally, toward things, became like him. It was what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is all about. You know the reason God can't sit in most of your seats? Is because you're sitting in it. He can't sit in most. He don't want to sit in your lap. He wants to sit in the seat. He wants to possess that part of you. He can't sit in it if you're sitting in it. But all you got to do, watch it, all you got to do is get up and stand to the side and invite him to come in. He made the simplicity of the gospel. You know, as you sit, watch how easy this is. Throw your leg out, stand up, move to the side, and invite him in. There's no excuse, we say, not to be saved. There's no excuse not to be filled. There's no excuse not to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled. You ever study that scripture? Blows your mind. If you're a Bible student, you better hear this. You'll never forget this. There's no patent on this. I want you to use it. Here's the connotation of that scripture. Paul gets on to the church at Ephesus. Here we got it again. It's not just the Corinthian church partying at the Lord's Supper, getting drunk during the Lord's Supper. We got the Pentecost church at Ephesus. Again, not Catholic Pentecost. They're drinking. They started liking the wine. They're drinking way too much. Guess what happens? He writes to them like a child. He's getting on to a child. The connotation of this scripture in the Greek text is like a disappointed father getting on to rebellious children. And there's a comma there in that scripture. And the comma matters where the King James put it. On the left side of that comma, he stop it. Cut it out. Be not drunk with wine. Stop it. You know better, child. Immature, wherein is excess. Right side of the comma, but be filled. Sin of omission, sin of commission. Book of James, sin of commission, sin of omission. Doing something you know you shouldn't do and not doing what you know you ought to do. Left side, right side, comma. Left side, church at Ephesus. Stop it. You know better than that. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Right side, but you better start doing it. But be filled with the Spirit. Sin of omission, sin of commission. Left side, right side. Stop it, do it. Stop it, that's all I'm saying, do it. According to that scripture, you that know better, could it be as much as a sin in the sight of God for you to leave here tonight and go to the nearest club and get drunk on booze as it is for you to sit here tonight and not be filled with the Spirit if you know to get Him? Stop it! Do it! I didn't write that either. I just studied it to preach it to you. Somebody else prompted by the Spirit of God wrote that. We take this infilling of the Spirit, I'm telling you, too lightly. We take the infilling of the third person. Let me reword it.
That's right.
The third person of the triune Godhead that moves and tries to move in our family's hearts. And we take Him so lightly that we take Him or leave Him. That's what we're saying. We take Him or leave Him. This is the reason we think wrong. This is the reason we're not against what He's against. This is the reason you're not for what He's for. You're not possessed by Him. You just sing about Him. You sing about Him. He wants to fill us. You need the Holy Ghost. You better get to getting the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. You will be faithful. You're faithful tonight. I'm not preaching to you. I'm going to preach those didn't come, that could have come. You need to be faithful. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're faithful. When you're filled with the genuine Spirit of God, not chopping something with your language. Not chopping, not that. I'm not talking about your mouth. I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about Him coming and actually sitting in the seat of your emotions. Things change totally. There are over 19,000 cities in our nation. There are over 19,000 cities in the United States of America, and none of them, think about it, are experiencing the biblical normalcy of revival. God's done everything necessary for us to be living in revival. Revival isn't a special kiss from heaven as much as it is God's church stepping up, living according to the grace and power of the Holy Ghost that we've been made available for over 2,000 years. I've often said we should be trembling in the shock and the awe of the presence of God day and night. Churches should be full of people who are praying and groaning in the Holy Ghost. There should be salvations all the time, not shock us. Divine healings, miracles shouldn't shock us. We should walk in them and live in them. Signs and wonders should be normal as eating food and going to work. Signs and wonders should be normal, not unusual. Where we have one happen and we talk about it 8 months later because we haven't seen one in 8 months. You still with me? Say, I love you, Robbie. Say, I love you, Robbie. Five. Can I get six? Can I get six and a half? Can I get seven? Seven and a half, eight. I got eight over here. Where are we at? What is about this mind? What is about Him sitting? If He can get me against what He's against, that's all this homosexual marriage talk. People wonder if God's for it, and they go faithful to church. And they put it under the category of love of God. He gets blamed for so much that He's already said what He thought about. He's already told us what He thought about it. Now listen to me. Listen to this statement. If the life of God is in me, His thought pattern will operate through me. If His life is in me, His Spirit, His thought pattern, the way Christ thought when He was on the earth, He laid down. No man takes my life. I lay it down. He laid down his two-legged, two-armed body at Calvary. He walked like a man, like I'm walking now. God, Emmanuel in flesh. Christmas is coming, folks, what it's all about. He laid down his body at Calvary that he might pick him up a new body at Pentecost. He picks up a new body that is commanded to go to that upper room. He fills that new body, the 120, supposed to be 500, fills it with the same spirit that he had in his literal two-legged, two-armed body that walked on the earth. It's not a twin. It's not a triplet. There isn't four of them. Listen, quadruplets. It is one spirit. He's trying to get the disciples on the earth to understand, I do not do these miracles because it's my two-legged, two-armed body, and you're looking at me as God wrapped up in flesh. I do these miracles because of the spirit that is in me. When this body is put in the tomb, when it's totally, watch it, the Spirit of God is going to rise. The Spirit of God at the ascension is going. He's coming. When this body of Christ now goes, I'm going to pick up a new body. I'm going to send the same spirit, though, that was in me. He's coming from heaven when I get there. He's coming. He's going to fill you in the upper room. Now, watch this. Here we go. There is a universal law of God. The universal law of God that we need to understand. Don't miss this. Please listen. We are taught by nature that whatever mind, I've said before in different messages, whatever mind is in a body, the body takes on its features. Whatever thought pattern is operating in a human body, that body's mannerisms will begin to look like it. Isn't it something how no matter what color your skin is, no matter what male, female, here's my point, we all have a certain look when we're mad. When you are mad, you don't have to open your mouth, your face. There's mannerisms in your physical body that shows the emotion of what you got going on inside. When you're overcome with joy, there's a look on your face that you can't even fake it. You can't fake bad by doing this like it really is when I'm really mad. You can't fake the over-emotional joy level that comes to you when something great just happened. It's the same thing when the Spirit of God is operating inside of an individual. When someone brings a mentally handicapped child to my revival, the parent don't have to say, my child's mentally handicapped. Their features show that. The mannerisms of how they do their eyes, the mannerisms of how they sit. They don't sit like other people sit. The mannerisms of the mouth, the tongue in the mouth, the mannerisms of their eyes, the way they do their head, the way they shake, the way they don't shake, the way they look down, the way they walk. The body is affected by the mind that is in it because it is a universal law of God. Our first text says in Romans 8, the carnal mind is the enemy against God because it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Paul said in Philippians 2:5, challenging the church at Philippi, it's okay to speak in tongues, all that, and I do daily, but listen to me. Don't max out on it. He said, you got to let the mind of the Lord, the thought pattern of God operate through you. When you are just let it, he said, let it. He wants to do it like he wants to save. Let him save you. Let him operate through you like was in Christ Jesus' two-legged, two-armed body when he walked the earth. You remember in the Word, use this as illustration. This didn't start in the red letter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It didn't start in the book of Acts. When I tell you it's a universal law that has been in every dispensation, all six of them have had this, that whatever is in the man or woman, their body will look like it. You can't help it. You remember in the Old Testament, the man, what book of Daniel? The man Nebuchadnezzar. He's president. He's king of Babylon, modern day Iraq. Nebuchadnezzar builds without technology. He builds the celebrated hanging gardens. You know what scholars tell us about the found in the book of Daniel and history books. It goes in detail more in the library or Google it tonight. History on Daniel, in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar and the celebrated hanging gardens. Read about them when you go home. He didn't have technology. He had wisdom. We today have no wisdom. We got technology. Daniel said, knowledge shall increase in the last days. God told him, technology, Daniel, will increase and many will run to and fro They're going to be flying to the moon and Mars because of technology, Daniel. But the wisdom won't be there because if you don't use it, you lose it. Why use wisdom when you can push buttons and pull levers and pull whatever? They didn't have that. They had wisdom. They had to think about it. They were a lot sharper back then, wisdom-wise, what our people are today. Because they were forced to use it to eat, to have water, to build buildings. A man that put his britches on, guys, just like us, a human, built the celebrated Hanging Gardens that scholars today tell us, listen to this, it'd be equal to looking at the Grand Canyon. It would be equal to Niagara Falls beyond it. They believe it'd be one of the wonders of the world if you could see it. And he built it, and he called a royal feast, and he brought people in. That's in the Bible. This I'm going to give you now. You'll Google and find out. It's not in the Bible. It's in history books. He trained peacocks, those beautiful male feathered birds with a variety of colors. Nobody has a peacock for a pet. Why don't people have peacocks for pets? They're wild. Can't get your hand on them. You just look at them. They're made to look at. He trained them. I don't know how that sucker did it, but he trained them. You know what he did? He harnessed them. And they were the waiters for the guests' food as they ate in the celebrated Hanging Gardens. Peacocks with harnesses pulling two-wheel carts would pull and ruffle their beautiful feathers and were trained by Nebuchadnezzar to stop and serve the people the rich and tasty wines and caviars that only wealthy princes, princesses, kings, and queens could afford. You hungry? Don't go, waiter! Wait on the peacock. The peacock's coming around, trained by Nebuchadnezzar. Shh. Shh. He walked to a podium, felt the need to elevate himself. May I have your attention? What do you think about all this that I have built? What do you think about what I have built? What do you think about these peacocks that I have trained? The timing had to be right, and the timing's now. Do you all really believe a man could do this? A man couldn't, because I'm not a man. He said, I'm God, and it's time for you to worship me. I am God. You can bow whenever you want to. And the problem was the real God heard him. That can be a problem. The real God heard him. Are y'all ready for this? The baptizer in the Holy Ghost in 2017 heard him. The one that decides and directs the Holy Ghost geographically inside of you heard him. He didn't grab his brain and pull it out of his head. The body would have died, Patty. He didn't affect his brain because he's not in your brain. He didn't reach inside the brain. You know what the Holy Ghost did? He saw the emotional seat of a king. He heard him say, I am God. So he reached inside and he went deeper where a surgeon's scalpel can't cut and a microscope can't see it. And he pulled out of a king, the president of a nation that was on a platform saying, I am God. He pulled out of the seat of his emotions his thought pattern. Whew. And he reached out and found a cow, an ox, a cow-like, a hairy, flea-infested, hooved animal grazing in a pasture. And he reached inside with his other hand and he grabbed the mind of an ox and he walked over to a king and he baptized him with it. Shoo! He took the mind of a cow, an ox, and he stuck it in a president of a nation's body. And the next scripture said, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, that was standing up saying, I am God, jumped down on his all fours. Immediately, his whole mannerisms changed by what he was baptized with. It didn't take him 3 to 6 months. Where you get that? The power of what's put in you changes the mannerisms of the body immediately. You need the baptism in the Holy Ghost tonight. Your family can't afford 3 more months. Your family, you can get you a good divorce in a month. Hear me, your family's got to have it tonight. Your kids might be dead 3 months from now, the way they're acting, the way they're partying, what they're taking in their bodies. It only takes heroin and cocaine one night. It only takes an overdose one night. It only takes one slamming of the door for a husband and wife to say, I'm done. I can't take it anymore. That's it. He put the mind of an ox in him. And when the baptizer put the mind of an ox in him, a man that walked upright like us jumped on his all fours. Read it in Daniel. He began to gallop. That ain't natural. That ain't natural to run on your all fours if you're a human in front of everybody. He's galloping like us. He started growing hair, parts of the body. Humans don't have hair. It was coarse hair. Daniel said, I saw it in a vision. When I saw it, it looked like, I don't know, feathers. It wasn't feathers. It was coarse ox hair. I believe that it grown out on Nebuchadnezzar's head and was bouncing off his back. Seven years, he lived in the wilderness. He's supposed to go from the pit to the palace. He went from the palace to the pit. In 7 years, you'd have brought him rich and tasty wines and caviars. He'd have shoved it away with his hoof. In those 7 years, if you'd have brought him a bale of hay, the president would have ate it. Because whatever mind you got in you, here we go, that's the food you eat. Whatever mind you got in you, I can come in your house, tell if you feel or not. That's the mind you got in you, what food you're eating when nobody's around. He's living in a pasture. He's living with deer and cows. He's grazing with elk and antelope, whatever's there. He's grazing in a stinking pasture. One of the saddest scriptures in the Bible said, and for 7 years, every morning, dew fell on him. That's all it says. You need to read further? I don't. It tells his whole life he was in a palace, and for 7 years, every morning, D-E-W, dew fell on him. His facial features changed, probably looked like an animal. His hands began to look like hooves. He grew hair places humans don't have hair, a different texture of hair. And he grazed in pasture and ate grass and hay, whatever he could find. And probably hollered like a stinking animal all night. After 7 years, God said, that's enough. Number completion. He's learned his lesson. Pastor, he can do it. You know what I love about this? That's his mind. He just kept it in his pocket. He's going to bring it back to him 7 years later. God can do what he wants to. He set it on a shelf. I don't mean that your head's a shelf. I just mean that. All right, there you go. He brought it back to him 7 years later. And he reached in and took the mind of an ox out of him. And he put his own thought pattern back in him. And he stood off of all four and got back on twos. And the hair fell off where it wasn't supposed to be. And his facial features started looking like human again. And his hooves began to look like hands again. You ready? Whatever mind you got operating in you. Yes, sir. Your features look like it. That's right. You can't help it. You can't even help it. I tell this story. It's funny. Back, I told you my Batman Robin lunchbox. By the way, when I was 6 years old, see, I was born in 61, so 66, 67 up in there, that's when Batman Robin came on the scene. And by the way, it was not Batman and Robin. It was Batman and Robbie. It was Batman. They wrote it wrong. R-O-B-B-Y. Private joke. Batman and Robin. Boy Wonder. Batman. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And right after school, everybody rushed home. Batman and Robin. Come on, Otis. And right after 3 o'clock, there you go. Look at Otis. Otis is old, folks. Otis is old. Right after Batman and Robin, Tarzan. I ain't talking about them fake ones. I'm talking about the real one. Johnny Weissmuller, the Olympic champion. He's the real Tarzan. Swinging from vine to vine. My daddy, reason I'm telling you this. Well, let me back up, man. I'm going to come back to that. But I got to give you this so it'll mean more when I come to it. I live in El Dorado, 2 hours below Little Rock. Benton, Arkansas. Benton had the state mental ward. Y'all remember it? It was there until just a few years ago. State mental ward. It's called the sixth floor. Sixth floor of the hospital. Whether you lived in Fayetteville, whether you lived in Mountain Home, whether you lived in El Dorado, whether you lived in Texarkana, whether you lived in East Arkansas, everybody knew in Arkansas about the sixth floor. So when you were young, you're acting crazy no matter where you lived. In Arkansas, your parents say, boy, you better quit. I'm going to put you on the sixth floor. When you're partying on Friday night and your friends are acting stupid, you go, man, you crazy, man. You crazy. Quit it. Stop it. Even as a sinner, you'd tell them, man, you're going to wind up on the sixth floor. You had to have a clearance to go. The sixth floor was like a prison. It was a statement award. You had to have a clearance to get in. With that in mind, my dad, we lived in a neighborhood on a hill looking out over the neighborhood. There was a huge plate glass window looking out over the neighborhood in the living room. My dad in 1960-something bought my mother. I'll never forget. She's so proud of it. Y'all don't laugh. This is the 60s. Beautiful burgundy, what do you call it? Burgundy carpet, that deep burgundy color. Oh, put it all in the living room, all through the house. Had them velour burgundy drapes with the big old thick curtain rods. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The tassels hanging off of it. She was so happy. And her friends would come over, and they were women like little girls. Oh, Elaine, we just want to come see your new carpet and your beautiful burgundy velour drapes. Went in front of the plate glass window, which right in front of the plate glass window had a beautiful oak table, kind of like a communion table without the this do and remembrance of me on it. Beautiful. 6 foot, whatever it was, right here, plate glass window. I'd come home, man, I was a little old boy, and I'd get my Batman and Robin gloves, my black gloves with the gold lightning bolt, Batman's on the side. I'd get me that Batman helmet. I'd get me a bath towel, that little six-year-old body. I'd get me a bath towel, and I'd get me a big diaper pin, and I'd put that bath towel around my neck, let it hanging out, and I'd put that diaper pin around it. And when it came on, the evangelist would come alive in me. Batman, boom, boom. I whooped the Joker. Honey, I tore him up in South Arkansas. I got to confess, I slapped Catwoman too. Amen. I abused women. Amen. I slapped the fire out of Catwoman. I whooped her all over. Are y'all with me? You women are mad at me now because I slapped Catwoman. The Penguin, I whipped them all. But as soon as Batman Robin's over, I take my gear off and get ready to swing with Tarzan on the vines. Oh! That crack right there, Pastor, I'm sorry. That crack, that sounded like a feminine Tarzan right there. Amen, because I'm tired. My throat's tired. But I was raised on the Washita River. Rope swings. 5 years old, no life jacket. I didn't know what a life jacket was. I started swimming. I never had a life jacket. I'd climb a tree like a monkey. I mean, way up in the tree. We'd get on that rope swing. We'd pull that rope so make sure that limb's good. Take off 5 years old, old murky, ugly, Washita River water. You couldn't see that far under, that far. Your kid went underwater, you better hope he comes up. It ain't like a lake. You won't find him. I'd go out. I'd go down 5, 6 years old, go under, pop that old blonde head, pop up. I'd swim that bank, climb that tree, go again. Parents just over here, they knew I was coming up. With that in mind, I told you last time I was here, I had a blonde-headed, blue-eyed United Methodist daddy. A black-headed, black-eyed German. My mother's hair is darker than yours. Black-headed, black-eyed German Lutheran mother. Daddy was working Mitchell Paint Center. He owned it. Coming home at 5:30. The cook, she always had 3 meals prepared. She wanted to have it done by 5:30. She told me about 4 o'clock. She said, Robbie, I want you to sit right here. I'm cooking chicken or whatever it was, and I've ran out of meal. I remember it like it was yesterday. She said, I'm going next door to Mrs. So-and-so's house, but I know you want to see Batman and Robin and Tarzan, so I'm not going to make you go with me, but you sit here. Look at me. You do not move in front of this TV. You don't answer the door. I will just be a few minutes. I'm coming right back. I'm going to get the meal, be right back to have the meal cooked for your father. She went next door. Batman and Robin ended. Tarzan came on. Tarzan, Otis Tarzan was swinging. The Africans in the jungles were throwing their spears at Tarzan. They were shooting their bows and arrows. Tarzan was calling the elephants. Oh, here come the elephants. That's my trunk coming. Amen. He'd call the tigers. And man, he was swinging from vine tree to tree. He'd grab it and swing across there. He's going through that jungle. Man, it pumped me up. And I had the urge to swing. And I wasn't at the river. And I looked over at those beautiful burgundy velour drapes. And I thought, I can do this. Some of you women have a vicious mannerism look right now on your face toward me. You're looking like I'd kill you if you was my son. I took my shoes off, Pastor. I got up on that oak 6-foot little table. And I grabbed those burgundy velour drapes. I did like the rope swing, like the limb at the river. I pulled on the rod to make sure it would hold the screws in the wall. And I got up there. I got me enough slack. And I took off. Oh! And I ran. Whoo! And I pushed off the end of that table. I threw them little old skinny, sick 5-year-old legs, whatever, around that drape. And I didn't get enough slack. The landing was not too good, so I knew instinctively, because I'm a swinger at the river, man. Come on. I got back on that table. Shoo, shoo, shoo. That second time, it was better. Still wasn't what I needed to have. But I pulled on it, man. I came back around. I said, third time's a charm. The entering and exiting door was about right here. I grabbed them drapes, got me some good slack. I took off of that 5, 6-year-old body. Shoo! I pushed off that. I threw them little, both of them this time. Boy, I was swinging. It was out there. I was about right here. Make them a little turn, and the door opened up. And it was that black-headed, black-eyed German Lutheran mother. And these blue eyes caught contact. I knew the scripture before I ever read it. Jesus said, the eye is the light of the body. When I looked in them black eyes and I saw her face when I was midair on her brand new drapes, I said, God, I'm dead. All of a sudden, my mother started hyperventilating. She always had it together. Everybody loved my mother. She lost it. And she looked up, and the curtain rods were bent. And all the brackets were hanging out of the wall. Pulled all the screws out of the wall. And I was wondering why all the curtains on the rings were going to one side. All the curtains were on the west side. And none of them would go back. They'd go back. I sensed something's wrong. There's something bad wrong here, because my mother had it together. And all of a sudden, her mannerisms, Patty, she started going. Huh, huh. We wasn't saved. We wasn't saved. Don't worry, Pastor, I'm going to fill in the blanks. She said, she looked up again, kept looking up. She said, Robbie Mitchell, I'm going to beat your little blankety blank, blank, blank. When I get through beating, I'm going to tear it off. I'm going to whip it off of you. It's going to fall on the floor. I'm going to whip your little blankety blank, blankety blank. And I'm going to tear it off your body. She said, I'm not going to tear it all off. She said, because your dad will come home at 5:30. He's going to want some. He's going to want to tear out your little blankety blank, blank. That's what she's doing. And then all of a sudden, she popped out of it. And she looked crazy. I'd never seen my mama like this. So I'm walking around going, Mama, Mama. She said, it was almost like, and she said, Elder Rita, she said, no. I'm not going to whip your little blankety blank. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. I said, what, Mama? What, Mama? She said, you act like them. You're going to live with them. I'm sending you to the sixth floor. Mama, I don't want to go to the sixth floor. Yeah, you're going to the sixth floor. I'm calling Benton, Arkansas. I'm calling the state mental ward, you little crazy blankety blank boy. I'm calling the mental ward, and I'm going to take you up there for a month. And she's a good actor. She walked in. She opened up the chest of drawers. She started putting a month's supply of underwear in the little Batman box. Do you understand what I'm saying? My little suitcase had Batman Robin on it. She's packing my Batman Robin little suitcase. Oh, she's getting clothes out of the closet. She's doing it right, Patty. She's acting. We had the dial phone. She walked over, picked it up, put her finger on the button, pushed it down. I said, Mama. She said, yes, this is Elaine Mitchell, an elder. Yeah, we're 2 hours, 15 minutes south. Yes, his name's Robbie. You spell it with a Y, Mitchell with two L's. Yes, he's swinging on my curtain rods and tore them out of the wall. Yes, ruined my drape. Yes, my brand new drape. Yes. I'd like for him to be there 1 month, possibly at least. That will do it. She's on the phone, man. I'm freaking because I heard about the sixth floor. Mama, I don't want to go to the sixth floor. I ain't going to the sixth floor. I told her I got mad. I said, I ain't going to the sixth floor. I ain't going, Mama. I ain't going to no sixth floor. You crazy people. I ain't going. I'll run away. I ain't going. You know, sixth floor. She's just packing up, smiling, crazy looking, just packing up. I did. I walked up to her. I said, Mama, I don't want to go. Just whip my blankety blank, blank, blank. But I don't want to go. Sorry for the illustration, Pastor. I didn't mean to get that close. I was six. 20 years later, I'm an evangelist. I'm 26 years old. Preaching in Benton, Arkansas, First Assembly of God for Lester Burton. Big old brother Burton. Big old stomach, big old chest. We had a preacher's joke about Lester Burton. Passed away the other day that he'd come shake your hand, he'd break your stinking hand. He didn't mean to. I mean, you shake his hand, you prepare it, you dread it. You'd see guys walking by district council going, hey, Brother Burton, how you doing? Good to see you, brother. I got to go over here. They're calling me. Ain't nobody calling you, liar. Shake his hand. He'd grab you and he'd just hug you. And you'd go. You'd lose your breath. He walked up, Larry Burton's father. He'd walk up. He'd walk like this. Call me evangelist. Evangelist. Came to me Sunday after church. He said, "Evangelist." I said, "Yes, sir." 26, he said, "You do hospital calls with pastors?" I'm thinking, "Sure I do. I'm sitting in a hotel all day anyhow." Yeah, sure, I'll go pray for the sick in the local Benton Hospital, Little Rock Hospital. He said, "Good." He said, "I got a boy on the sixth floor. Won't you go with me at 9 o'clock in the morning? I'll pick you up. I've already got us cleared." I said, "What?" He said, "I got a boy on the sixth floor. I'm going to take you with me." I said, "Pastor, I don't want to go to the sixth floor." "Go." I said, "Here, Brother Burton, just whip my blankety blank blank blank, but I don't want to go to the sixth floor. Just whip me." This is where the laughing stops. I went one time in my life before they moved it. It was an elevator. Put them on the sixth floor all over where they won't run off. The door opened, and orderly in white was there. I saw people hanging on bars like they were monkeys. I did. I've been in two zoos in my life, Little Rock and Memphis Zoo. I walked in, 30 seconds, I thought I'd enter my third zoo. There was mannerisms like I've never seen in my life. I didn't know a tongue could be pushed out of a mouth so far. I saw people stare that never blinked. And I'll tell you this, you didn't want to get too close to the cage. You watched everywhere you went. There was a young man close to my age. I can't call it a cage like you would think. That seems cruel. But it was like he was barred off from people. It was thin type little bars that kept him back like a gate from going to a certain area. He would get on the gate and he would pull up on it. And he'd just pull up about this far and slide down. His whole life. Holy Ghost said, "Look at him." I said, "I don't want to look at him." "Man, I mean, you're looking around the whole time." He said, "Look at him." He said, "Whatever mind is in a body, the body takes on its features." I asked the orderly, I said, "What happened to him?" He said, "It's a Little Rock, Arkansas surgeon's son. His mother and father took a vacation by themselves. The surgeon went off in another country, left their high school boy. Said he had a big party with the rich kids, not just smoking marijuana, the rich drugs back then, only wealthy kids could afford. They hid all their drugs up underneath the kitchen cabinet. They'd take Drano bottles, plastic Drano bottles, Comet, whatever it was, Tide detergent, whatever it was, ammonia. They'd empty it out, clean it good, and put their drugs inside of it, put it under the kitchen cabinet. Case of a police raid, it would look like chemicals. Said he called a big party on Friday night with his parents. He was up high in a bedroom upstairs, so high he couldn't shoot up himself properly. So he called one of his high buddies to go down under the cabinet. He told him where it was. He said, "I can't get down the steps, man. I'll never get back up here. Bring him up to me." Only problem was his buddy got a hold of real chemicals. He made a bomb. He put it in the syringe. The rubber band was around the host of the party's arm. He shot him up, popped that rubber band, blew his mind. He made a bomb. He laid on his back, aspirated twice. Second time, he was dead too long. They freaked out. They called the 911 or got him, got the paramedics come quick. As fast as his stomach regurgitated, his lungs sucked it in, laying on his back. They brought him back, but he was out too long. If he hadn't died, he's around 56 years old. You know what he's doing? He's somewhere hanging on bars like monkeys. He's somewhere sitting strapped to a bed. I know one thing he's doing if he isn't dead. He's sitting around somewhere going, Holy Ghost said, look at him. He said, there's a universal law of God. Tell the church whatever mind is in them, their body will take on its features. You can't help it. You can only help what you let in. He messed up by letting something come in his veins, changed everything outward. Just as he accepted drugs in, you can accept the fullness of the Spirit in, and it'll change the way you look. Every invention begun like this, I'm through. It's 7 o'clock. Every invention, it was a thought. Your dad had bypass surgery. Have you ever heard how that was invented, came up with? You'll love this. By Cooley and DeBakey down in Houston, Texas. When Houston exploded in the refinery oil in America, before we depended on all the foreign nations, those refineries and those oil off that Gulf down there supplied America. The population exploded. There wasn't proper bypasses. DeBakey, the doctor, and Cooley, I think it was DeBakey that worked as a team. One of them was in traffic. And it was so bad because of the population explosion, they called for the federal government, can you help us build quicker? If Texas calls on the federal government, trust me, they need them. They don't call on them. They want them to stay up there and leave them alone. He had to get to a heart patient, but there were blockages in front of him. He couldn't get through. He looked and he saw, what, how I got to get to him? How am I going to get there? There's no way to get there. They're dying while I'm driving. He looked and saw the bypasses being built. And with his hand on the steering wheel, he had a thought. A bypass. Bypassing the blockage. It's going to be nice when we get our new bypasses. Conceived, later achieved. What if I could take something out of the body that the body doesn't need, that it wouldn't reject? Leave the blockage and bypass it. The vein in a person's leg. I can take segments of the vein, leave the blockage that can't go through, literally bypass it, hook it up, and they will die, but they'll die of something else. The flow of the blood will continue. He had a thought while in traffic, and today they do them like tonsillectomies or better. You're worse off probably when you have a tonsillectomy. The recovery of soreness. Seriously. He had a thought. It's the same thing in the Spirit. If the Holy Ghost conceives it in you, usually it'll be achieved. But most of the time we're thinking it on our own. If He can conceive it in us, we'll see it achieved. But it's got to be birthed by Him. And it can't happen unless I invite Him to come in and sit in the seat of my emotions. You and I know what that chair is to be used for. They're not real decorative. There's nothing beautiful about a chair. We know what it's to be used for. It's to be set in. If I would ask the majority of you, what is that? Some of you would say a tan, light brown material chair? I wouldn't. You know how to describe that? I'd call it an empty chair. It's a chair, but it's empty because I know what it's supposed to be used for. When I look out at people and I know the way you're supposed to be used, you know what I see? I don't just see people with brown, blonde hair. You know what I see? I see empty people. I know how you're supposed to be used.
Oh, yeah.
And when I look at people sitting in our churches nowadays, most of them forget about him when they walk out of those doors on Sunday. You know why? Look at that chair and stare at it. Sure. That's the way I see many of their lives. You're here, you're there, but you're kind of empty looking. Empty looking. Everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. There's a lot of them here this morning. I was fighting it, but I knew a lot of them wouldn't come back. Oh, you're not by yourself. It's almost everywhere in the day we live in. So don't think it's your church.
Right.
It's almost everywhere. You know what's happening? People are empty.
That's it.
People need the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
That's right. That's right.
All kind of preachers don't even give the altar call anymore. Had that television program on the Dish Network where I was preaching like I preach here. Preach on the baptism. Y'all see the calls would come in. Call center would type everything they said. Cussed us out, they put it down. Blessed us, they put it down. Amount of offering or just order of CDs, DVDs, they'd put it down. They'd make comments. You know what the comments were? Wow. We never hear the Holy Ghost preached on anymore. Tell Brother Mitchell thank you and to keep going. Find out where they go to church. Guess where they went to church? It wasn't Baptist calling in Nazarene Church of Christ. You know what it was? Assembly of God people. We go to First Assembly of God so-and-so. We go to so-and-so Church of God. We go to an independent River of Life, independent somewhere. You know what I had on that call center list? Listen to this. Our pastor's not given an altar call for the baptism in 10 years. I go to Assembly of God churches. I can name them right now, and you know some of the guys. You know, it's caused a division between me and them. It's caused division. We're not the same toward each other anymore. But like Ronald Reagan said to the Democrats one time, he said, I didn't leave you. Y'all left me. I didn't leave you. Y'all left me. And I'm telling a lot of these guys, I hadn't left you. You all have left me. 10 years, no altar call given. Well-known preachers. Some people will call them Mr. Pentecost. I correct them. I say, they're not Mr. Pentecost. I know for a fact they never give altar calls or preach on the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Don't call them Mr. Pentecost because they've been in it a long time. Their daddy was there in 1914. I don't make them Mr. Pentecost. Their daddy isn't their ticket. I don't care if he carried that banner down Hot Springs Avenue or not. They're responsible now. They're accountable. And they never lay them hands on anybody and get them filled with the genuine third person of the triune Godhead. My God, what are you doing, man? That's all I live for. Is get them saved, get them filled, get the church moving again. That's what it's all about. Are y'all with me tonight?
Yes.
The emotional seat. He wants to sit down in the seat of your emotions. It's the answer. He's the answer. Until you receive him the way you've heard him preach tonight, you're going to feel empty. You're going to feel empty all your life. Until you operate in this, you're never going to be like you ought to be. You're going to spin your wheels all your life, and you're going to die. Go to heaven because you're saved, but you're going to spin your wheels. You're not going to have an impact on anybody around you. Rest of your life. Because you got to have him in the day we live in. You with me? This is the emotional seat, the place that he comes and what happens when he enters in. Bow your head, everybody. Bow your head, everybody. Worship team, if you'll come tonight, worship team. Singers, if you'll come and take your place on the platform. I was hoping everybody would have come back tonight due to. I wanted them to hear this and be filled. I want them to hear this tonight. This challenges me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus the Lord. Wow. Man, challenges me. I'm going to lay hands on you. I'm going to lay hands on all of you that want him tonight. You've spoken in tongues, but you know there's more. You've spoken in tongues and you've discussed it with people. I have old people come to me. They're about ready to go to heaven. And they'll say, lip quiver, and Brother Robbie, there's more in there. I've talked in tongues all my life. Raised my hands, but they said, I said, here's what it is. Here's what the more is. You stopped on an Acts chapter 2 experience. You need to go to a Philippians chapter 2 experience. You need to let him come in to the seat of your emotions. And when he sets down and baptizes you, everything changes. Is this the fire John talked about? He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And he's got his fan in his hand. Right now, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Tonight, Robbie, I've never prayed in the Spirit. I've never even, Acts 2, spoke in tongues. And Robbie, I've sure never, Philippians 2, I've never flowed like this. I really would like to have that thought pattern. I would love to have him think his thoughts through me. I would love to be against what God's against and for what God is for. That's no shades of gray right there. Tonight, be honest. I need a fresh infilling tonight. I need to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Lift your hand tonight and be honest. I would love to operate and receive him tonight the way that I've heard you present him and preach him. Four people, is that all? Tonight I'm ready to flow. Tonight I am ready to be full of the Spirit of God. Lift your hand up. I'm ready to be full of the Spirit of the Lord. Lift your hand up. Stand on your feet with me. Stand with me if you raised your hand. Stand with me. I'm going to pray for you. Stand with me tonight. Stand with me. You know what I want you to do? I want you to step out. Come on, you that are standing. Step out, walk down in front. We're going to lay hands on you. Come on. We're going to lay hands on that surge for that surge. That Spirit of God fresh to come in you tonight. Make a line. Give me a little room in front of you, like about right there. That's good. Little room in front. We're going to pray. For the fullness of the Spirit. I want the rest of you to stand, if you will. Speak in tongues, but tonight it is the more. I want you to put your hands in the air. You that are in the chairs, put your hands in the air. I want you to step out. I want you to walk down and fill the altar with your hands lifted tonight. Come on, raise your hands up as you walk down the aisle tonight. Raise your hand up. And tonight, say, I'm coming to be more sensitive to the mind of the Lord. I'm coming to be more sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I'm coming tonight to listen to that inner voice, to be against what he's against and for what he's for. Y'all began to worship. Otis, go ahead.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place. Feel the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
Bella sota da ba.
To be overcome by your presence, Lord, say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
To be what our hearts
to be overcome
by your presence,
Lord.
Oh, now begin to open up to him.
Begin
to open up to him. And let the baptism in the Holy Ghost begin to come inside. Many of you that spake in tongues 70 years ago, tonight receive a refreshing. Raise your hand according to the word in obedience and say, tonight I want you the way I heard you preached. I want you tonight the way I heard you preached. This is what I'm wanting, Lord. Ushers, if you'll come. Brother Randy, Sister Patty, will you help me tonight? If you feel like it, Patty. Brother Randy, I want you to pick me about five or six Holy Ghost filled people. I know there's more than that here, but pick me out about five or six dynamos that's going to lay hands with me on everybody in here. I want you to lay hands on everybody in the building. I'm going to have you all, you brother, if you'll start on the end, brother, if you'll start in here, we're going to move left to right. Patty, if you feel like it, I want you to come. Brother Randy, if you'll come right there. Brother, if you'll start on that end and make your way back, you and that wonderful lady right there, start on the end and make your all the way through. We're going to lay hands on everybody in this building. And listen, I don't want you chopping with your mouth. I want you to receive the baptism. I don't want you just to chop your jaws. I want you to receive the fullness of the Spirit of God. Amen? And remember the message tonight. You ready? Let's pray for all of them right now. Lay your hands on all of them. Lay your hands on all of them right now, every one of them right now. At least 25 or 30 people, get your hands on them. And I'll go ahead and help me, brother, pray. I want you to open up and I want you to flow, every one of you. Begin to flow in the Spirit of God right now. Come on. Flow in the Spirit of God right now. Flow in the Spirit of God. Right now, everybody in the building, just open up and pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. If you've never received the baptism, just open up and begin to pray right now. If you have received the baptism, you're going to receive a fresh refreshing tonight. Receive the fullness. That's him. Receive the fullness of the Spirit. Lift your voices. Lift your hands up, everybody. Just open up and pray in the Spirit. Open up and pray in the Spirit. Every one of us, we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost tonight. A refreshing in the Spirit of God. A refreshing in the Spirit of God. A move in the Spirit. A refreshing in the Holy Ghost. I lay hands on you to pour the oil, Lord. Pour the oil down David, God. Pour it on his head. Pour it, God. Touch Gail, Lord. Touch Sister Gail in the name of Jesus and fill her up tonight and refresh her in the Spirit of the Lord. Right now, let the mindset, the thought pattern operate through you. In the name of Jesus. Oh, open up, everybody. Receive the freshness in the Holy Ghost. The freshness in the Holy Ghost. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath in the Spirit and receive the freshness of the Holy Ghost. Right now, receive the freshness in the name of Jesus. Receive the freshness in the name of Jesus. Receive the refreshing of the Holy Ghost. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Come alive tonight and fill us, my Lord. My Lord, receive the fullness of the Spirit. Just open up to what God gives you. You don't have to fully understand. We just flow in the Spirit tonight. We flow in the Spirit tonight. Shula mamaya. Shula brasandara. Just praise and praise. Thank you, God, for touching. Touching the family in the name of Jesus. Touch the family in the name of Jesus. Touch us, Lord, with your Spirit and refresh us. Fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up tonight. Fill us up tonight. Right now, receive the refreshing. The refreshing in the Holy Ghost. Receive the refreshing in the Holy Ghost. Receive the refreshing in the Spirit. Receive the refreshing in the Holy Ghost. Come here, honey. Come up with her. Come here, your Spirit of God's on you. Come here. Honey, raise him up. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Fill her up tonight. Fill her up tonight. Pastor. Pastor, lay your hands on her. God's on her tonight. Before tonight. I feel my brother. Fill him up and refresh him tonight. Refresh him tonight in the Holy Ghost. Refresh us tonight in the Holy Ghost. Let your mind operate through this man. Same thought pattern that was in your two-legged, two-armed body. God, operate through this man. Operate through this woman of God. Receive the mind of the Lord. Receive the mind of the Lord. Operating in the name of Jesus. Receive the mind of the Lord. Operating in the name of Jesus. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. it tonight. Be filled with that mind, thought pattern.
It's getting here.
You'll never go back. You'll never go back. Capsule him. Capsule him, Lord. Capsule him. Be filled. Touch my brother, Lord. Touch him in the name of Jesus. Touch him in the name of Jesus. Touch him in the name of Jesus. Fill him full. Mindset. 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 Thought pattern. Mindset. Refresher tonight, Lord. Refresher tonight in the Spirit. Now listen, lift your hand and just thank him now. Thank him for what we heard tonight. Thank him for what you heard. Thank him for the plan of God. Thank him that you're being filled. And it's not a one-time process. You will continually be filled. You will continue to be filled. But now you know what you're looking to be filled with. In other words, he's going to sit down that empty chair. And he's going to give you thoughts you've never had before. You're going to be against what he's against and for what he's for. You're going to hate what the devil loves. You're going to love what the devil hates. And it will be him in you, operating through you. He is called the baptism in the Holy Ghost. He affects our emotions. We look like what is in us, who is in us. Amen. Pastor, tomorrow night, 6:30, it's going to be a good night. How many of you coming back tomorrow night? You're going to be here? Probably got other church people coming. No, it's a busy week. That's okay. We shouldn't even say that anymore. You know why? So what?
That's right.
We had church during Thanksgiving weekend. So what? Amen. We're thankful. Thanksgiving. We're thankful. Amen. Pastor Randy, do you want to say anything at all? We will see you tomorrow night. Do whatever you feel. We're not dismissing. If you want to stay all night and pray, stay. If you need to go, you may go. It's 7:30, so if you have to go, stop back there at the table. We got a lot of cool t-shirts. Check those out. A lot of CDs, DVDs we brought with us. A lot of cool new shirts I got that's really cool. And it says, "Not today, Satan. Too blessed to be stressed." A lot of half-sleeve shirts back there, as well as t-shirts. We will see you tomorrow night. God bless you.
Sing, hallelujah. We sing, hallelujah.
spiritually.